Laundry, board games, card games, gardening, organizing, dancing. What does your loved one love to do? Do you know the things that bring light to their eyes or even spark conversation? And did you know that you can advocate for those things in a memory care setting? I'm your host, Valerie Lynn, and in this episode, we're talking about increasing your chances for a successful memory care move through activity. Welcome to Desperately Seeking Senior Living, a podcast for sons, daughters, grandkids, and all caregivers who suddenly find themselves tangled in the search for senior living and care. If you like today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and check out our doable download in today's show notes for a printable summary of the show and a bonus tip. You're listening to our doable tips, short answers to your questions. Don't see your question listed? Send us a note. Then don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an answer. Hi, and welcome to the show. Last episode, we talked about this exact topic, but we applied it to those in independent and assisted living. We talked about getting creative and advocating. And with memory care, I believe that's even more important. If you're listening today and you're a family member looking for memory care, I believe you hold the key to helping this transition to memory care be more successful. I believe that because you know your loved one better than anyone. And I'm not even talking about caregiving, which, let's face it, you're probably doing that even if you don't think you are, or if it's not an official job. What I'm talking about here is that you know those things that spark joy or calm in your loved one. A successful memory care move could be as simple as communicating your mom's favorite song or your dad's favorite movie. But it doesn't end there. You're in partnership with the memory care community you find. They must be willing to take that information and incorporate that into how they interact with your loved one. If you're listening and you work in memory care, I challenge you to become curious about your residents. Who are they? What did they used to love to do? There are so many variables to consider when choosing a memory care community. For this episode, we're just taking a look at activity in particular, but I'll put some links and show notes to other episodes that we've done about memory care. Okay. When you tour a memory care community, just like assisted living, they're going to show you their activity calendar. Here are some of the things that you might find on a memory care activity calendar: music, arts and crafts, singing, painting, exercise, stretching, balloon toss, noodle ball, baking, brain games, happy hour, reading, gardening, or movies. The activity calendars are usually packed with things to do, which is great, but you may already be saying to yourself, well, my mom wouldn't like any of those things. Or maybe you're wondering if in her stage of dementia that she would even be able to participate. I believe that the most important part of the activity calendar in a memory care community isn't the calendar at all. But before we get to what I think is, here are a few questions that I want you to ask when you tour a memory care community. What do you do if the residents don't want to participate in activities? How does the staff handle this specifically? How? At that time when an activity is scheduled, are there staff members available to pivot if your mom or dad doesn't want to go to an activity? Is there an opportunity to add or change an activity to something your mom or dad does like to do? With most dementias, and maybe you've even experienced this, there are usually good days and bad days. Even times of day can affect your mom or dad's ability to participate. So maybe you can guess what I believe to be the most important thing. I believe that a successful memory care activity program is more about pivoting and changing than it is about the actual calendar. It's about learning each resident's likes and dislikes and then tailoring the program to the residents. Not just music, but different genres of music. Not just movies, but different types of movies. And if you listened in to our last episode, then you know that this is also how I feel about independent living and assisted living, and that I would most likely not like country music or a Western movie. With memory care, it can take even more creativity and even more advocating. If you know your mom loves singing hymns, but you notice that the music that they have doesn't include hymns, it's absolutely okay to ask if they can add that to one of the days. If your mom loves weeding the garden, but doesn't know the difference between real flowers and weeds, can the community garden with plastic flowers? If your dad doesn't like to bake, but he loves to eat sweets, can they add taste tester to the baking activity? If your dad was a mechanic and loves to tinker, can they add a simple building activity? And if he's the only resident who might like this, does that mean it's your responsibility to do that activity with him? Or can the caregivers also do activities? Does it just have to be the activity coordinator? If your dad loves action movies, is it possible that he's maybe not going to like the musical that they have planned for movie night or soap operas that are playing on the TV during the day? One of the top complaints that we hear from families is that when they tour memory care, the residents are just watching TV. And listen, that's actually okay. If you think about your day, I would say many of us probably have a time during the day that we like to just veg out and watch our favorite programs. But what we hear is that what's on the TV is not something that their loved one would watch. And when we have something like this that your mom or dad really hates to do, and yet they are either required to participate or there isn't anything else to pivot to, then it could trigger a bad day or a bad moment in memory care. It's, I think, very much the same as how we provide care to those that have dementia. There are certain ways that you approach someone who has dementia. Okay, I actually didn't have this planned to talk about in this episode, but something very recently happened. And I think that we can make the analogy here that it's very similar to care and how that activities are very similar to how we approach care or how we should be approaching care. So I was visiting a memory care community and there was a resident in a wheelchair, and this really lovely staff member who I believe had the best intentions didn't explain to the resident that she was getting ready to take her to lunch. She just walked up behind the wheelchair and pulled the wheelchair back, which completely physically startled this resident. And so I believe the way we approach someone who has diminished spatial awareness, who doesn't understand everything that's going on around them because of their dementia, I think is the same way that we should be approaching an activity calendar, making it personal, including them in the activity, or in this case, just getting to the activity. And if they don't like musicals, or if they're not feeling it that day, is there something else that they can do? And of course, you know, here's the thing about cognitive impairment. It can change on a dime. What works today may not work tomorrow. And this is why I believe the most important thing is being able to have that plan B. If you're a regular listener. You know that I used to work in senior living communities specifically, and also in memory care. And I will never forget the day that there was an activity that this gentleman normally loved, but for whatever reason, he just did not want to participate that day. And he was normally a really funny, easygoing guy, but on this day, he was not going to leave his area to go to this other activity room. The caregivers were trying to get him to go. And even I was like, hey, let's go. It's time for whatever the activity was. I can't remember right now. But he literally stomped on my foot. And at the time, I was shocked, of course. And I can look back and laugh at it now because he couldn't verbally tell us that he didn't want to go. But he sure showed us. Many memory care communities have programs designed to gather specific personal information about your loved one, what they like, what they don't like. And this is exactly what we're talking about today. It can feel really promising when they ask you these questions or have you fill out these pages of specific things that your loved one loves. But how are they actually using the information? Are caregivers involved in the activities? How open is the community to changing or modifying their activities? Can your loved one say no if they're not feeling up to it at that time? And does that mean they don't get any stimulation that day? One of the challenges of a memory care community can be the size of the community, how many residents they have, how many staff members, the different stages of dementia, some with early and some more advanced. It can be difficult to meet individual resident needs. And this is why it's so important for you to advocate, because finding that thing that brings joy to your loved one can make all the difference for a successful memory care move. Today's episode is brought to you by ClearPath Senior Living Solutions. ClearPath helps families find assisted living, memory care, and other resources. Find our contact information in today's show notes. Check out this episode's doable download in show notes for details, including industry terms and definitions we discussed, as well as a bonus tip from our guest. Have questions or your own tips to share? Leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, make it doable.